Second Chronicles chapter 7, and get Second Chronicles 7 in one hand and get Second Corinthians chapter 12 in the other hand. Second Chronicles 7 and Second Corinthians 12, and then we'll go from there. Amen. Second Chronicles chapter 7, very familiar verse, a revival type verse, and it says, if my people, and I've got the word if circled, if, I've got that circled in my Bible, if, so it's conditional, if my people, which are called by my name, and aren't you glad to be saved today? Man, it's a blessing, amen, to be one of God's children, and if my people, which are called by my name, here it is now, shall humble themselves, this is our part now, humble themselves and pray, and seek my face, and turn from their wicked ways. Turn from their wicked ways. Amen. Are y'all listening to me? It's good, isn't it? Yeah. I've got the word then circled. So I've got if, and then I've got the word then. Amen. If we keep doing what we're doing, we're going to keep getting what we're getting. Amen. I don't know about you, but I need reviving in my heart, you know, and I want God to do it again. It says, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. All right, now take your Bibles and turn back to 2 Corinthians chapter number 12. 2 Corinthians chapter number 12. I preached a series of messages a while back and we had a lot of people in our church that were going through things, and I have a list of them here. Brother Bob Wells, one of our men, was having heart problems and one of his lungs was not responding. He was on a ventilator. One of our ladies named Tanya Ball, she was driving to work one day, had a stroke on the way to work, and she's still having problems with just the rehab and getting, you know, kind of getting the use of her body back. And one of our men was working on a xylene tank, and it exploded and blew him up and burned his body badly. Had to have skin grafts it was a bad explosion and a miracle that he's still living. And then one of our ladies, Diane Mason, her brother, just passed away with bone cancer. Had a young lady, 28 years old, that had cancer, and she had five-month-old twins and twins that were 5 years old, and she passed away. She was 28 years old. I mean, just with cancer. Just, I'm telling you, she was under hospice care. One of our ladies, her cancer just came back, Miss Camille Epperly. Brother Bobby Chandler, another one of our men, was out at the deer camp, and had an explosion out there, burned 51% of his body. And the first time I went to see him at Children's Hospital, his head was so swollen, I couldn't even tell who he was. And I mean, just a lot of stuff going on within our church family. I've got a whole list of them here of different things that were going on. And Psalms 119:75 says this, I know, O Lord, that thy judgments are right and that thou in faithfulness hath afflicted me. Sometimes God allows stuff to happen to us, doesn't he? We don't always understand. And so I preached a series of messages just trying to kind of answer, you know, why does God allow things to happen? And the first sermon that I preached on, sometimes God is testing us, and I used the altar there in front, and I brought my son up there. His name's Joe, my oldest son, and laid him down on the altar, and, you know, I raised the knife. I mean, I was just acting like I was going to, you know, like Abraham and Isaac, and there was a ram, had one of our young people down on all fours, and kind of a ram caught in the thicket and all of that. Just kind of, you know, acted that out and preached a sermon. Sometimes God is testing us, and boy, he tested Abraham on that deal. And then the second sermon I preached on why does God allow things to happen? Sometimes God is chastening us. And I talked about the Israelites. You know, it's kind of the Israelites, you know, God led them across the Red Sea, and they no more got out in the wilderness. They started murmuring, didn't they? Complaining, bellyaching, griping, complaining, and all that. And God would chasten his children. He chastens every son and scourges us, and he does it because he loves us, okay? The third sermon I preached was God sometimes allows tribulation and trouble to come so that we could comfort others. And I told the story about my mom going home to be with the Lord at the age of 56, and how I've taken that comfort and used that comfort to comfort the hearts of others. And God didn't make a mistake. He was just equipping me as a pastor to be able to comfort others. The fourth sermon, sometimes it's Satan opposing us. Preached a sermon on Job. Have you considered my servant Job, the Lord said to Satan. And then the fifth sermon, sometimes it's so we can be partakers of Christ's suffering. And I preached a sermon on Stephen. On Stephen. The sixth sermon on why, sometimes it's so we can glorify God, and preached about the man born blind in John chapter number 9. The disciples said, who did sin, this man or his parents, who was born blind? And neither one of them did it. He was born blind so that God could heal him and God could be glorified. Okay? And then the seventh sermon, sometimes God allows things to happen to increase our faith, and we preached about that. And anyway, the eighth sermon is one I want to preach to you this morning in this series. I want to borrow it. And sometimes God allows things to happen in our lives to keep us humble. To keep us humble. So I'm preaching to you for a little bit on pride this morning, okay? On pride. And in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, In chapter 11 there, you see there's a list of things. Verse 24 that the Apostle Paul went through of the Jews, 5 times received I 40 stripes save one. Thrice was I beaten with rods. Once I was I stoned. Thrice I suffered shipwreck. The night and the day I've been in the deep, in journeyings often, in perils of waters, in perils of robbers, in perils by mine own countrymen, in perils by the heathen, in perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils among false brethren. In weariness and painfulness and watchings often, in hunger and thirst and fastings often, in cold and nakedness. Besides those things that are without, that which cometh upon me daily, the care of all the churches. And you just read on down through here, chapter 12, verse number 1. It is not expedient for me, doubtless, to glory. I will come to visions and revelations of the Lord. I knew a man in Christ above 14 years ago, whether in the body I cannot tell, or whether out of the body I cannot tell. God knoweth. Such an one caught up to the third heaven. And I knew such a man, whether in the body or out of the body I cannot tell. God knoweth how that he was caught up into paradise and heard unspeakable words, which is not lawful for a man to utter. Of such an one will I glory, yet of myself I will not glory, but in mine infirmities. Wow. Of such an one will I glory, yet of myself I will not glory, but in mine infirmities. For though I would desire to glory, I shall not be a fool. For I will say the truth, but now I forbear, lest any man should think of me above that which he seeth me to be, or that he heareth of me. Verse number 7 is our text verse. It says, Lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan, to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. A few weeks ago, I was driving a van route on Sunday morning, and I have a man, one of the men of our church, his name is Brother Ronnie Martin, and we meet every Sunday morning. And we go to McDonald's, eat a little breakfast, and we go out and start picking up people. And this morning we had gone out and we had picked up Brother Hambrick, who's 87 years old. He lives out on a strong highway. And we came back and picked up Miss Joan Murphy and her granddaughter Patricia Grace. And anyway, we're just kind of making the rounds, going through, picked up Zach, and we just kind of get in the van load. And we're going out on the Callion Highway, and again, I'm driving the van. Brother Ronnie's riding shotgun. We got a load, and we're still picking people up. And I have a blowout, okay? I have a blowout, a flat tire on the van. And we're able to get the van off the highway. It's a busy highway. And so we're kind of standing there. I'm trying to call my guys, and nobody's answering. You know, I can't find anybody, you know. And I'm a number one guy, number two guy, number three guy. I'm thinking, okay, great. Where are these turkeys? You know, I'm trying to, hey, where's all the help at when you need it? Well, anyway, this truck drives by and it passes us, and it kind of pulls up pretty good ways past where we were at. They pull off the side of the road, and these two elderly gentlemen get out of the truck, and they start walking to us, and we're walking to them, and we kind of meet in the middle, me and Brother Ronnie and these two elderly gentlemen. One of them is white-headed, and he says, Pastor, what's up? And I knew who he was. His name's Mr. Solomon, and he told me that I'd give him a track at a restaurant one time, and that I'd prayed with his mom or something anyway back years ago. And so anyway, he knew who I was probably a little better than I knew who he was, so I was kind of winging it, you know, and kind of going along. And anyway, he said, what can we do to help you, Pastor? And I said, man, if you could take us to the church, you know, we could get another van. And I teach a Sunday school class, and that would, you know, we're running a little bit late. And I was just thinking, man, if I can get back, then I can send somebody else to come and get the van. And so he said, fine. And so we're walking down to his vehicle. We went back, told them we're going to go get somebody and come back and, you know, have a driver. So we left some people there with adults, with the kids and all that. So we had them there. And so we get in his truck. Okay, so we're walking down the highway. We get to his truck, and it's a double cab. And he says, Pastor, if you don't mind sitting in the back, back seat, you know, it's fine. I said, no, that's fine. That's great. And I had just got my pants out of the cleaners, you know, and I've got this real crisp, pleat in my pants. And I'm styling and profiling, you know, and looking sharp and all of that. Well, he says, move over, J.D. Well, my name is J.D. All my life I've gone by my initials. I was named after both of my grandfathers. And so when he said J.D., my name kind of, I kind of perked up. And he said, y'all don't mind getting back with my dog? Well, I'm thinking about like a little lap dog. I'm thinking like a Chihuahua. Or maybe a rat terrier. So, I mean, I'm styling, profiling, and all of a sudden, I'm getting in the back seat of this pickup truck, dually or whatever you call them, they're with an 8-year-old male boxer. Now, a boxer's like a lap dog in a big dog body. And I don't know what it was, if it was my cologne or what, but this dog named J.D., I mean, out of all the millions, I'm thinking God's like, okay, guys, y'all come over. I want y'all to see this one. This is going to be good. You know, because I mean, I'm all, you know, like me, and I'm the pastor, you know, and I got my, you know, and I'm just looking sharp and all that. Now I'm getting back there, and this dog is like getting all up in my face, you know, and my guy that's with me, he's like laughing, you know, and he's trying to pull the dog back over, and the dog's like wanting to give me some sugar and all that, you know, and I'm thinking, wow, this is unbelievable, man. I smell like dog. I got boxer hairs all over me and all that. You know, I'm telling you, God has a sense of humor, amen, and he can bring us down, amen, to size. I went bass fishing with my oldest son, Joe. He loves to fish, and Joe's our youth pastor, and we were fishing over Lake Columbia, and I don't get to fish very often, and so Joe usually has the fish located, and he had the fish located, and so I went over there, and I had this little red, it's called a red-eye shad, and it was red, and had, you know, the eyes and all that. Anyway, it's a red-eye shad, and so I'm throwing this bait, and I throw it way out there, and man, this bass, like, grabbed it, and man, I'm reeling it in, and it weighed over 7 pounds. It was awesome. It's the biggest bass I've ever caught in my life. And Joe netted it for me, and he's kind of coaching me when I'm reeling it in because I hooked it way out, and it jumps like twice. It's a real miracle that I even got it in because he could have spit the bait back at me and all that. So we finally got him in. I've got him hanging on my wall. I've got a picture of it I can show you. And I was like, Joe, you know, I'm messing with my son Joe because he fishes a lot. And I said, now, Joe, is this the biggest one we've caught this year? He's like, yeah, Dad, this is the biggest one we've caught this year. And he's pretty laid back and everything. And you know, I was pretty cocky about it. I was pretty proud, you know, that I'd caught the biggest one we caught this year. And not getting to fish much. That was in March. Just a couple years ago, maybe last year, year before last. And anyway, March and April, May, in May of that year, Joe caught a bass that weighed 11 pounds and something. I mean, his bass, he caught it night fishing over around Forest City, Arkansas. And on a black spinner bait or something like that. But anyway, I mean, his fish looks like it could eat my fish. He sent me a picture of his fish, and I thought, man, okay, Lord, I'm sorry. Lord, please forgive me for being, you know. And I'm just saying this pride thing, you know, it's one of those things, you know, I'm real tender-hearted, and I love the Lord and everything, but pride is one of those things that keeps coming back on me. You know what I'm saying? I get kind of cocky. One time we were fishing, my son has a bass boat, big bass boat that his father-in-law gave him when he got married. His father-in-law bought a new one, gave him this bass boat. It's nice. I was fishing with one of our other men in a little fishing boat, and Joe's in his big bass boat. Joe calls me and says, Dad, he said, I ran out of gas. I'm like, you're kidding. You ran out of gas? Yes, sir. So I said, well, we'll be there in a little while. I said, I'm on fish right now. I was messing with him. You know, we're on fishing. And so anyway, Joe says, so we go. Joe's like trolling across the lake, like just a little nail, you know, just barely going across the lake. And so we go, and we're in this little fishing boat. He's in this big bass boat. And I throw him the rope. And so this little boat is pulling this big boat. Y'all get the picture? And I'm in the little boat with Brother Bill Switzer, and Joe's in the big boat with my brother Bob. And I'm like, who's your daddy? And I'm messing with him and laughing as we're pulling, the little boat's pulling the big boat across the lake. It's one of those things. I like to win and all that stuff, but I get a little cocky sometimes. Are y'all listening to me? Pride. I love the Lord, but pride is a problem, isn't it? And the Lord said, hey, if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray, and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways. Amen. I want to do my part, you know. And it's just one of those things, you know, kind of like Potiphar's wife. You remember how she went after Joseph day by day? You remember it wasn't just one time thing. She came after him the next day and the next day and the next day. You remember that? Day by day. To me, well, pride's one of those things. You might do good on it today, but tomorrow you might flunk out on it. And I just, you know, I'm thinking about revival. And I'm thinking, wow, if we're going to have revival, we're going to have to get the pride out of our life. Now, take your Bibles, turn to Proverbs very quickly, to Proverbs. Everybody okay? Amen. I am too. I'm feeling mighty fine. Thank you for that great song service this morning, man. I love good, vibrant singing, brother. Y'all did great. Choir, that was awesome. Appreciate the good special. I don't like funeral music. Amen. I like good lively. Proverbs chapter number 8. Now I just want to say to you this morning that pride is one sin. You can mark it down. Pride is one sin that God hates. Okay? He hates it. Now look at Proverbs 8, verse number 13. The Bible says this, the fear of the Lord is to hate evil. Pride and arrogancy and the evil way and the forward mouth do I hate. Take your Bibles and turn to Proverbs chapter 16. Proverbs chapter 16. Proverbs chapter 16 and verse number 5. The Bible says this, everyone that is proud in heart, look at this now, is an abomination to the Lord. Though hand joined in hand, he shall not be unpunished. Abomination is one of the strongest words in the whole Bible. It means God detests it. I mean, he doesn't just hate it. He detests pride, okay? He hates pride. He hates pride. He hates pride. And I'm just thinking, wow, I want to be real careful. Look in Proverbs 16, 18. Pride goeth before destruction, the Bible says, and a haughty spirit before a fall. Better it is to be of an humble spirit with the lowly than to divide the spoil with the proud, okay? Pride goeth before destruction. Throughout the Bible, you just see God just dropping the hammer. Take your Bible, turn to Acts chapter number 12. I'll just give you some Bible illustrations very quickly about pride this morning. And again, God just dropping His punishing hand on those, coming down on those who are proud, okay, who are proud. And again, this is Herod here, and Herod was a wicked man and all of that. And Acts chapter number 12, and look at verse number 21. And upon a set day, Herod, arrayed in royal apparel, sat upon his throne and made an oration unto them. And the people gave a shout, saying, it is the voice of a God. Look at that little G there. A God and not of a man. And immediately the angel of the Lord smote him. Watch this now. Because he gave not God the glory. Because he gave not God the glory, and he was eaten of worms and gave up the ghost. But the word of God grew and multiplied. Boy, I guess so. Amen. How would you like to have seen that happen? Amen. Where he gave not God the glory. And you know, I think about singers, you know, and a lot of times singers are singing for the glory of man. You know, when they're up wiggling around and eating on the microphone and all that, and they're, you know, putting on a show, that's not the kind of music that glorifies God. Are you with me? Hey, listen, we want the music to honor and glorify God. Hey, if it's good, I always say this, you know, if somebody says, well, Pastor, that was a good message, or I enjoyed that message, I always say, thank the Lord. Thank the Lord. Amen. Hey, what am I doing? I'm deferring the glory to God. Amen. I just say, thank the Lord. Thank the Lord. Thank the Lord. Thank the Lord. Hey, because if I start saying, well, thank you, well, then I'm receiving, if it's good, hey, it's good. If it's good, it's because of God. It's not because of me. Amen. Hey, I didn't write the Bible. I just preached the Bible. The Bible is the Word of God. And I'll tell you, if the Bible blesses your heart, hey, it's the Word of God, amen. God's the one that gets the glory for the preaching. God's the one that we're singing about, amen. And we want to lift Him up, amen, in our singing, in our preaching and all. It's all about Him, amen, and Him receiving honor and glory in the church. We've got a lot of churches today that have gotten off track and they're in the entertainment business. And it's nothing more than just a big fleshly show, you know, and it's a dog and pony show and all that, you know, and I'm just saying, wow, you know, that's not why we go to church, to worship the Lord. Amen, in spirit and in truth, and boy, what a blessing to get there and the Spirit of God be in the church house as you sing songs that lift up the Lord, and boy, you start getting goosebumps, you know, because God's there and His presence is known and felt in the house of God. Boy, what a blessing, and I'm just saying, wow, God judged Herod and knocked him down, worms ate him, amen, thinking, wow. What about David? I mean, I think about David. You know the story about David. And David, it was a time, the Bible says, when kings went forth to battle. But David tarried still in Jerusalem. He wasn't where he was supposed to be when he was supposed to be there. Are y'all with me? And that's when he saw Bathsheba bathing on the housetop. Are y'all with me? And I'm just saying, I think David got so much power as a warrior and all that. I think he thought maybe pride had kind of gotten in there and he thought he didn't have to do what he's supposed to be doing. Y'all listening to me? Hey, don't get too big for your britches. No, you know, it's not about you. It's not about me. And I'm telling you, this thing of pride, it's just kind of one of the things we just got to, you know, every once in a while, we just need to just say, Lord, I'm sorry about that, you know. It's more about me than it should be. Turn to Daniel chapter number 4 very quickly. Daniel chapter number 4. These are just Bible illustrations. I just love the Word of God, don't you? Yeah, amen. I'm going to give you my red-headed opinion, amen. I'm going to give you some Bible. Yeah. Daniel chapter number 4, I want you to look at verse number 28. This is old Nebuchadnezzar. And he had some issues too. It says verse number 28, Daniel 4:28, and all this came upon King Nebuchadnezzar. At the end of 12 months, he walked in the palace of the kingdom of Babylon. The king spake and said, is not this great Babylon that I have built for the house of the kingdom by the might of my power and for the honor of my majesty? While the word was in the king's mouth, there fell a voice from heaven saying, O King Nebuchadnezzar, to thee it is spoken, the kingdom is departed from thee. Hey, God's the one that sets people up and God's the one that takes people down. Amen. Verse number 32, and they shall drive thee from men, and thy dwelling shall be with the beast of the field. They shall make thee to eat grass as oxen, and seven times shall pass over thee, until thou know that the Most High ruleth in the kingdom of men, and giveth it to whomsoever he will. The same hour was the thing fulfilled upon Nebuchadnezzar, and he was driven from men, and did eat grass as oxen, and his body was wet with the dew of heaven, till his hairs were grown like eagle's feathers, and his nails like bird's claws. And at the end of the day, watch this now, I, Nebuchadnezzar, lifted up mine eyes unto heaven, and mine understanding returned unto me. Amen. He had a little attitude adjustment somewhere along the way here. Look what he says. I bless the Most High, and I praised and honored Him that liveth forever, whose dominion is an everlasting dominion. His kingdom is from generation to generation. Look at verse 37. Now I, Nebuchadnezzar, praise and extol and honor the King of heaven, all whose works are true and his ways judgment, and those that walk in pride, he is able to abase. Hey, listen, God is able. It don't matter who you are, who your mama is. God is able to bring you down. Amen. When you become full of pride. And he brought down Herod and he brought down David. He brought down Nebuchadnezzar. Turn to Isaiah chapter number 14. These are all familiar, aren't they? Isaiah 14. Isaiah chapter 14. Isaiah chapter 14. Look at verse number 12. Isaiah 14:12, the Bible says, How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cut down to the ground, which did weaken the nations? For thou hast said in thine heart, look what Lucifer said, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. He had an eye problem, didn't he? He sure did. It was all about Lucifer. Look at verse 15. Yet thou shalt be brought down to hell, to the sides of the pit. And God threw Lucifer and one third of the angels went with him out of heaven. And I'm going to tell you something. God is able to bring people down, okay? Turn to your New Testament. Turn over to Luke chapter number 12 very quickly. Luke chapter number 12. Luke chapter number 12. And again, these are just all kind of Bible illustrations about pride and God just, He hates it. He hates it. The Apostle Paul, again, he had this fear, lest I should be exalted. Man, can you imagine being caught up to the third heaven and seeing some things and then coming back down here? Man, I'd be going around, Yeah, no, you got to be careful. That's what he's saying, lest I should be exalted. You know, it's not about me. And God gave him a thorn in the flesh to remind him, hey, it ain't about you, Paul. Don't let this go to your head. Okay, you just got to be careful. Look at Luke chapter number 12. Luke chapter number 12, look at verse number 16. And it's a parable of the rich fool. It says, and he spake a parable. A parable is an earthly story that conveys a heavenly meaning. And he spake a parable unto them, saying, the ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully. And he thought within himself, saying, what shall I do, because I have no room where to bestow my fruits? And he said, this will I do. I will pull down my barns and build greater, and there will I bestow all my fruits and my goods. And I will say to my soul, soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. Look what God said. But God said unto him, thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then who shall those things be which thou hast provided? So is he that layeth up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God. I'm thinking, wow, Man, thank God. Listen, thank God that we can humble ourselves under God's hand. Everything I have, we say, my house, my car, my children, my grandchildren, everything I have, God has given me. Are y'all listening to me? It's God. God has blessed me with my wife. God has blessed me with our children. God has blessed us with our grandchildren. It's all about God. If you see any good in me this morning, it's all because of God. I deserve to split hell wide open. I deserve to pay for my own dirty, rotten sins. But I thank God for the imputed righteousness of Jesus Christ that's been charged to my account. And I'm not going to hell anymore because Jesus paid it all. He died on the cross to cover my sins, to atone for my sins. And I'm thankful today. I'm not going to heaven because I'm redheaded. I'm going to heaven because Jesus lives in my heart. And the way up with God is down. Are y'all listening to me? I'm telling you, pride is a problem. Pride is a problem. I'm thinking about the Lord Jesus. You can turn to Philippians chapter number 2. Philippians chapter number 2. Philippians chapter number 2. Philippians chapter number 2. The Bible says, Philippians chapter number 2, verse number 5, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Let this mind, okay? So there's a way that Jesus thought about things, the way He processed things. And the Bible says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Now watch this now. Who, being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God. Everybody look at me. Can you imagine being equal with God? I mean, that's where Jesus was. He was equal with God. Equal with God. You know, we spend our life, everybody look at me, we spend our life trying to climb the ladder. Keeping up with the Joneses, amen. Climbing that ladder. You know, baseball, hot dog, apple pie, and Chevrolet. The American dream. You know, just climbing the ladder, trying to get a little bit more. Jesus Christ started out on the top, equal with God. And look what the Bible says He did. This is the mind we're supposed to have. Verse number 7 says, but made Himself of no reputation. No reputation. So he starts condescending. He starts coming down the ladder, but made Himself of no reputation and took upon Him the form of a servant. Can you see Him in your mind's eyes? He girds Himself with a towel and He washes the disciples' feet. He's teaching servitude and unity to His disciples and says that He was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, the Bible says He humbled Himself and became obedient unto death. He humbled Himself. He's walking down the ladder and became obedient unto death. And then the Bible says, even the death of the cross. Even the death of the cross. The Bible says, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree. Listen, He became sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. He became sin for us. He bore our sins in His body on the tree. Man, what a blessing. What a blessing. What a wonderful Savior. Down from His glory. Remember the old song? Down from His glory, ever living story. My God and Savior came and Jesus was His name. Hey, what a blessing. Hey, listen, I'm glad that He condescended, that He came down. And I'm supposed to have that kind of mind. No reputation. The form of a servant. Wow. You know what I'm thinking? You know, that's not really always the way I'm thinking. Sometimes I'm thinking I know more than I know. Sometimes I'm thinking more highly of myself than I ought to be thinking. Are y'all listening to me? It's because of pride in my life. And I'm just saying, if we're going to have revival, we're going to have to, you know, if I'm climbing the ladder and I'm going one way and Jesus is coming down the other way, what's happening? I mean, I'm passing Him on the way up while He's coming down. It's like my grandpa used to say, if it rubs the fur the wrong way, you need to turn the cat around. And I'm just thinking, wow, I need to turn the cat around. If Jesus is going down the ladder, I want to spend my life going down the ladder if I'm supposed to have the mind that He has. Amen? Are y'all with me? Nod your head, rattle, rattle. Yeah, amen. And I'm just saying this, and then verse number 9, it goes on, it says, wherefore God, I mean, you humble yourself, and then it says, wherefore God also hath highly exalted Him, and God takes Him right back up to the top of the ladder. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted Him and given Him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, things in heaven, things on earth. Hey, listen, that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Wow. Is that not unbelievable? So the way up with God is down. And then God does the promoting and raising up and lifting up. Now I'm just thinking this morning, if we're going to have revival, if my people, I'm glad I'm one of His people. If my people, which are called by my name, O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is Thy name in all the earth. And I'm glad that I'm a Christian. I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. It's the power of God unto salvation. What a blessing to be one of God's children. I'm not going to hell no more. If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves. Wow. Humble themselves and pray. Seek my face. And turn. Turn from their wicked ways. You're not talking to me. Yeah, I am. I'm talking to you. I'm talking to me too. Turn from their wicked ways. Turn from their wicked ways. We got to quit the sin business. Yeah. Yeah. We think things we shouldn't think, don't we, sometimes? Sure we do. We say things we shouldn't say sometimes, don't we? Sure we do. Sometimes we hurt the people we love the most. I've had to tell my wife I'm sorry several times in my 34 years, almost 35 years of marriage. I've had to tell my wife I'm sorry a lot of times. Had to eat crow, had to humble myself. You know why? Because I was wrong. Yeah. Had to tell my kids I was wrong. Yeah. What keeps you from doing that? Pride. Pride. When you ought to say you're sorry and you won't, it's pride. When you ought to repent and turn from your sin and you won't, you know what keeps you from doing that? Pride. Pride. All I'm saying, the Apostle Paul, he had this fear that when he preached to others that he himself would be a castaway or be disapproved of God. I don't want to be a castaway. I don't want to be disapproved of God. He had this fear in our text verse, lest I should be exalted above measure. Lest I should be exalted above measure. Said it twice in one verse. And I'm just thinking, Lord, I want to have Your mind. A lot of people looking at me. A lot of people watching me. In my town. In my church. My family. My wife will tell me one of my grandkids needs some pawpaw time. Yeah. Took one of my grandsons with me the other day and we talked. Spent some time with him, just loving him, talking to him from my heart. I want to be right. Are you with me? I want to be right. I want to be emptied of me. And the way up with God is down. Let's bow our heads this morning. Thank you for listening.